Yeah. It's Mr. Encore.
Wait a minute. Stop this. We gotta stop this. I can't. On tonight, start it like this show like that? No, we gotta go this way.
Let's go. Ain't no room for hesitation up in here. It's time to leave it on the field. Cause it's game time. It's time to make your hard work pay off. Make your mom and dad proud. Make your opponent pay the price. It's time to step up and get it done, son. You go hard or you go home. From the first whistle to the last. Bring it all day, every play. Cause you know your boys are gonna put on the line for you. They got your back, so you better have theirs. This is about the team. It's about pride. It's about who's the hungriest. So what's it gonna be, man? You gonna leave it on the field, or you gonna leave it inside? You gonna leave it or something in your tank? Or you gonna do what champions do? Leave nothing. Leave nothing.
All right. Hello once again, people. This is the FSP Crew Show. I am your host, JT, a.k.a. Adam Master, and I'm joined by my co-host, Jeff the Joker. Two Jersey guys holding it down on this Thursday night, the first night of 2013 NFL football season. Yes, they pretended for the last 4 weeks. This is for real now on Thursday night. I'm pumped up, but without further ado, before I go any further, let me bring in my co-host, because I gotta bring myself down, so I can bring in my co-host, Jeff, and say hello, Jeff. What's up?
Hello, Jerry. Thank you for the introduction. And in case anyone didn't know, Jerry is in 11 leagues, makes me an amateur at only five, and two of my five, Jerry is also in. So. So, Jerry, that 11's a big number. That impresses me, even though I know there's guys with more. Did you do all those drafts yourself, or did you do any auto drafts?
Jeff, let me put it this way. That is the sign. I hate to say it like this, but that's the sign of the cross with me. You know, when a vampire comes up to you and you're trying to ward off a so-called vampire, you put the sign of the cross up. That's how I feel about auto-drafting. I can't stand it, never have done it, never will. Let me put it that way.
Oh, you're preaching to the choir. But the problem is, you know, this time of year, guys who are doing a lot of drafts, all of a sudden they got two that overlap, and then they got an auto-draft one, and there can be technical difficulties with that. And to me, it defeats the purpose of fantasy playing. And I was in... my one league, it's auction and dynasty. So you can keep players for multiple seasons. And a guy tried to pre-program, and that got foobarred like you wouldn't believe. And the commissioner had to keep stopping the draft. Because that you really can't auto. In auction, you can't.
How the hell how do you do that? That's crazy.
I guess they have some way you could program how much to pay for each position, maybe.
See, right.
I wouldn't do it. And
right.
I think if I was ever in that big of a bind, I'd see if I could get a friend to help me or something.
Sure.
But because, you know, these auction drafts can get really lengthy at times.
Yeah.
And, but that doesn't bother me because, you know, the thing is, especially with this, it's a decent chunk of money for this league. And since these guys, if they work out, you could be keeping for a few years, you want to get it right. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I hate. Like, my friend's brother, I was in a league with him, and he was so obnoxious. If anybody took more than 3 seconds to make a pick, he's like, you know, typing in the keyboard, oh, hurry up. It's like, hey, you know, you're going to be stuck with these guys for the whole season if you're lucky. What's the rush, you know?
Right, exactly. Yes, you know, I don't mind if a guy takes too long. It can be annoying, but it's better than having to put up with somebody who's auto-drafting.
Right. I mean,
that takes the human equation out of it, and
yep.
you're basically screwing your other members in that league because the fact is you're auto drafting, you're doing a machine versus a human, and it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. You know what I'm saying?
But also, the auto sometimes doesn't do that great. I don't trust the auto. So, because
right.
the auto will do some things that I would, you know, I've looked afterwards, like, oh, why did it do this? Why did it do that? You know? So, if they just do it automatically, they don't say, oh, well, let's do the kicker last. They'll pick the kicker, you know, 11th round or whatever, you know? You know, like CBS Sportsline, you know, some of those drafts are, you know, you could take up to 2 minutes for a pick, you know. And, if somebody can take the whole 2 minutes, that's their prerogative, you know. It doesn't bother me. You know, but the shit that I'll tell you, that the draft that we did on Sunday, tell you, just, you know, sometimes, you know, you have a draft and you fall in love with your team afterwards. And it almost never happens, but, you know, it's a good feeling. And I didn't have that feeling afterwards. I was in that league, it was, it was a 60-second clock. There was a few auto-pick guys, and it seemed every time I wanted to draft a player, the guy ahead of me beat me to it time after time after time. And I just, that was one of the toughest drafts I've ever been in.
What you had take place on that late draft is what I had take place on the morning draft. I don't normally get frustrated, but I was getting frustrated because it seemed like one or two picks before I was supposed to pick, I had somebody queued up, and all of a sudden, one of those guys took him. I'm saying, what are they reading my mind? I don't understand what's going on here. Yeah. I know what you mean. I know exactly how you feel.
Now, the draft we did Saturday, I had the first pick. I was very fortunate. And then the thing is, you got the long wait until your next two picks are back-to-back. And then I tried to make good use of that time to plan. And I was pretty happy with the way that turned out. Usually I like to kind of pick in the middle, and you still have a little bit of time to plan, but just every single pick, just boom. Because I'd have, let's say, a list of 2-3 guys, and it never fails. Boom. Just all of a sudden, the clock runs out. It's my pick. They're all gone. And that league has very special rules, and I'm glad I did my homework, and even with that, it did not come out as positive as I liked. But you know, hey, I got to give it a shot. You know, and the team could surprise me.
Hey, you know what? I drafted a team, and I thought I liked the team. And, you know, I don't put too much credence in the grades, but, I mean, it gives you a gauge on what the may think of your picks. And I looked at my team, and I'm saying, this is a nice team. The only question mark, in my opinion, was a quarterback, which was Michael Vick. And I'm saying, and I got the worst grade of the league. And I'm looking at him like, I don't understand. Now, I'm gonna give you this lineup that I drafted. Maybe not in the order I drafted them, but I'm gonna give you the team and tell me. I don't know if it was the commissioner or if it was the actual site that gave me this grade. But I thought this was a pretty damn good team, and I got an F on this. My quarterback is Michael Vick. I have my running backs are Jamaal Charles, Darren Sproles. I picked up Michael Bush and Lamar Miller. Okay, and I forget who I had as my fourth running back, but I changed it up and I put Michael Bush. So we say it's Michael Bush. My wide receivers are Dez Bryant, Randall Cobb, Antonio Brown, Josh Gordon, and DeAndre Hopkins. Okay. My tight end is two tight ends, Jermichael Finley and Jordan Cameron, along with the Buccaneers defense and Stephen Hushka from Seattle. Now, I got an F on that,
that
lineup.
Sounds like, I'm not stroking you. That sounds like a pretty good team.
And I'm saying, I don't understand. How did I get an F on a team like this with two very good wide receivers?
10 teams
and,
in the league?
Excuse me?
10 teams in the league?
No, it's a hold on a minute. I think it's a 12-team league.
That's for a 12-team league. That's really good.
And I'm telling you, Jeff, I got an F on that.
It's just because of Vic, and I guess, did you get a backup quarterback?
No, I don't have a backup quarterback, but I'm figuring I can grab a backup quarterback when I need it. So.
Yeah, yeah. Just make sure, you know, of course, he has a different bye week than Vic. That sounds like an excellent team. Maybe it puts too much on the quarterback. That sounds like a really good team. Wow.
Yeah. I mean,
these things can be very subjective. I don't quite get it. And I mean, I have, you know, in my dynasty league, it's a 10-team league. It was 12, but you know, these things happen. So 10 is still good. And
sure.
I know it's 10 teams, so you should have a strong lineup. I'm really liking my lineup, but I'm predicted to lose week one.
Really?
But the thing is also, the lineup isn't just for week one. The lineup is for the long haul.
Sure.
So, and especially the week one, the projections in general are very approximate. I mean, when first comes to shove, I think rankings are probably more accurate than projections, if you get what I'm saying.
Sure.
Because they don't even tell you how they come up with these projections. It's like somebody just pulls them out of his rear end. But fantasy time is here, and, you know, they got the game tonight is on the NFL Network, which I don't get, but I'll listen on the radio after we're done with the show.
No, the game tonight's on NBC.
For real? Oh.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, the first NFL Network, ironically, the first NFL Network game, which is next Thursday, is the Jets versus the Patriots.
Yeah, woo. Yeah, tell you. I think the Bucks, they're playing your former team, the Jets, week one. That's a very good matchup for the Bucks defense. And,
oh, yeah.
In the draft that we had on Sunday, one of the few bright spots in my draft was I got the Patriots defense. Hey, they play the Jets twice, Buffalo twice.
Yep.
You can't go wrong.
Nope. And I used that strategy in a few of my leagues for the simple fact is the Patriots were one of the most – in fact, I think they were second in the most takeaways in fantasy. And I think in real life too. So it's a very underrated defense. Plus the fact is they're playing together for another year under their belt. It's a young defense, and I think they're going to only get better. So, and we do have a caller in here. I do know who it is. Welcome, my man, Macal. How you doing?
What's up, man? How y'all doing?
All right.
Hey,
are you ready for tonight, man? Are you ready for tonight?
Yeah. Shout out to the beautiful people out there in Baltimore, Maryland, who can't even get it together to have their own Super Bowl team play at home. Shout out to them. But
yeah, man, that's crazy.
Football.
That's crazy that because they share a parking lot, they champion Ravens can't get the game.
All you guys say is that's Baltimore, Slim.
All day.
Oh yeah, well
all day.
I know that's one of your favorite cities. So,
you know I love me from Baltimore.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, we were talking about fantasy teams. We were also talking about what we've been doing over the last week or so in the drafting. But let's get to this. Tonight's game, which happens to be a replay of the AFC Championship game, with the Ravens and the Broncos, that the Broncos lost in a heartbreaker in overtime at home. First off, I want to talk about this. Now, leading up to this game, there's been a lot of controversy for the simple fact is it's being held in Mile High Stadium, but all over, supposedly all over the city of Denver, are big posters or big pictures of Mr. Joe Flacco, including on the stadium. Now, a lot of people have been upset about that. Think it's disrespecting the Denver Broncos, putting Joe Flacco, the winning quarterback of that championship game, on the same stadium that is home of the Denver Broncos. I want to get your guys' opinion on that. I know that it's the NFL's opening game, and I think the long arm of the NFL is wielding its power and putting them, having those posters put up all over the place, promoting the first game of the season and a matchup, a rematch of the championship, AFC championship game. Give me your opinions on all that, Jeff, and then I'll go to McCaff.
To me, it's a non-issue. I mean, Denver is a great football town, and they don't need a poster of an opposing player to promote anything. They don't need anything to promote this game. I mean, you know, Broncos tickets are sold out for decades. You can't get them. That's one of the best football towns, and I have no idea why they would put up a poster of an opposing player, no matter who it is. I don't get it.
Macau.
Once again, you want to thank the beautiful people down there in the great city of Baltimore. Who can't get their shit right. They can't get their shit right. That's why you got a big poster of Joe Flacco sitting up there in Denver. And the good people of Denver are well within their rights to deface it. Because I tell you one thing, if there's a Tony Homo billboard that can come up here, it's going to get defaced. I guarantee you I'd be the first one to throw an egg at that joint.
I feel you, and I understand. I do understand the Denver Broncos fans being upset. They don't want to see. That's adding injury to insult or whatever you want to call it, because the fact is, this guy broke their hearts in their home stadium, and Denver went home, and Baltimore went to the Super Bowl, and then you got the nerve to have the winning quarterback of that game and of the Super Bowl alongside Peyton Manning on the same stadium, face of the stadium. I'd be pissed off, plus the fact that they have big posters all around the city, supposedly, of Mr. Flacco. I'd be pissed off. And just like you said, they've been defacing I probably would be right along with you, McCown, and doing the same thing, defacing if it was my town, if it was an opposing quarterback, regardless of circumstances, but an opposing quarterback, big poster as big as my home quarterback on my stadium. I don't think so. I don't think so. Gonna have to arrest me for defacing the poster, but whatever it is. Anyway, I think because even though that the Broncos, they're missing Champ Bailey, he's not gonna be playing in this game. Defensive back. And their all-pro linebacker, he's suspended for, what, 6 games, Von Miller. And for the simple fact that their other sack leader, Elvis Dumerville, is on the opposing team in this game. I still like the Denver Broncos, and I think they've been waiting for this game all offseason, all through the preseason, priming themselves, knowing that they're going to be playing this team. And it's supposedly some pretty bad blood between these guys now. I think they're going to blow them out tonight. I know that the Baltimore Ravens have revamped their offense a little bit, and their, especially their defense. With the they lost Pollard, they lost notable names. They lost Pollard, they lost Ray Lewis, they lost Ed Reed. I think they're Denver Broncos are going to try their best to lay a at least a 30 number on them at least, and dare Joe Flacco and company to keep up with them. Your thoughts, Jeff?
You know, every team loses key personnel after a Super Bowl. The Ravens really got hit hard. You know, I don't think they're going to be a horrible team, but I don't see them repeating. And Denver looks pretty good. And I'm curious. I don't think it's a big secret. I think Denver is going to use a lot of three wide receiver sets. Now, I mean, why else would they get Wes Welker? And that would make sense because they used when Peyton, who practically runs that offense, you know, he's practically the coach. When he was in Indianapolis, they ran a lot of three wide receiver sets, which, you know, and they did it with the tight end, just one running back. And they did that, I think, his last year in Indy, I think 80% of the time. So, you know, the fantasy guy is wondering, there could be enough balls to go around for Demaryius Thomas and Decker and Wes Welker. I think Welker's banged up, but he's going to go. They picked a pretty good game for the first one. I mean, I think supposedly a lot of the new guys on the Ravens' defense are good. I mean, of course, Doomerville can get to the passer, but they got a lot of big shoes to fill. A lot of big shoes to fill on that team.
Mikal.
Yeah, they definitely have some big shoes to fill on that team. Surprisingly, I think that defense is going to be a little bit better than what people expect them to be. I do see them dropping off some. I just don't know how much. You know what I'm saying? I really don't know how much. I like Flacco. It's remained to be seen if he could deliver, you know, this year. This is his team now. So, you know, he got that big money. He got to handle it. He got handled it. I like that. I like what they did with their defensive line or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. It's going to be hard. I think they. I can't see them getting to the playoffs this year. I really don't. But I wouldn't be surprised if they do. Won't be no repeat though. None of that.
Okay.
We'll
I hear you. Well, I we do have another caller from the 202. I'm going to bring this. I don't know if I want to say his name or give his title this week. First, I'll do it like this. I'll say, this is my chump of the week, Victor Gardner. How you doing?
Really?
Eloquent.
Really? Is that how you're going to bring me in, Jerry? Is that how you're going to bring your master in? Okay. Well, I was all set to be calm and cool and collected and just pontificate, which is arrogantly speak, about a topic. I was going to pontificate about this game, but now I'm just going to pontificate about you. I'm going to arrogantly tear you down. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this game that's about to come on is a great, great game between Baltimore and Denver. The young tight end for Denver, well, actually isn't that young. He's been in the league for about 2 or 3 years. He's just been banged up. He's a big threat. He's a big black Gronkowski. That's the best way I can put it. So if they go to three wide or they spread them out, go three wide and split out tight end, I see a lot of draws. I see a lot of screens happening with Ronnie Hillman because they're going to spread them out. Jerry's right. They didn't get, I think it was Jerry that said it, or it was Jeff that said that there's no way in the world they're not going to have their base formation of three wide receivers with Wes Welker there. Will that bode well for the running game? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But I have Denver going in and defeating Baltimore, even though that is neither Harbaugh has opened the season with a loss. whether it was college or professional. They've gone 5-0 combined for the both of them in opening games, so that's going to be tough going to Denver and doing this. But if you look at it, Chant Bailey's not playing. Elvis Dumervil is not there. He's on Baltimore's side. Von Miller is suspended. So there's a chance. There's a big, big chance that Baltimore put up some numbers in this game, fantasy-wise, and make it very competitive, even though I still have Denver winning. Now, since I was labeled the chump of the week, I'm going to tell you what a chump move is. A chump move is placing one bet.
Mute.
No. A chump move is when you place one bet on the game that you're supposed to win by, 10 points. Not the manly bet. The manly bet will be the...
Oh, my finger slipped. I muted him. I'm sorry.
We have a mutiny. Yes.
I'll bring him back. I can't do that to Victor. I'll bring him back. My board's acting slow.
No, let's
slow,
have a
so...
mutiny.
Yeah, mute my cousin, please. Mute my
hello,
cousin.
Hello, Victor. Go ahead, Victor. Go ahead.
Well,
I'm gonna give you a piece.
I'm going to end with this. See, the manly thing to do would have been to place the bet on all three matchups this week, where in two of them, you're set to win by 2 points or 3 points. That would have been the manly thing to prove your dominance. But because ESPN feels that Maurice Jones-Drew is only going to get, in Black's league, is only going to get 9.3 points, and they're sadly mistaken on that, you have the edge. But it's okay. We will see.
Well, it's going to have to be okay, Victor. And you can call me a less of a man if you like. That's fine. But this less of a man, if things go the way ESPN says, I'll be picking up some monetary profits from our wager. And maybe that monetary profit I have will better help me become a man. How's that?
I'll tell you this. When that ESPN projected score doesn't fall your way, the real man will put the money in my PayPal account Tuesday night like they're supposed to.
Oh, whatever. Anyway,
I'm
Victor,
put it down like that.
How are you tonight, Victor?
Actually,
I didn't give you.
I'm pretty daggone good, man. I got
okay.
100.008 on one of my quizzes. I got a 97 on my presentation today. I got another presentation tomorrow, and then I got another one on Monday. Football's here. I've done all 20 drafts. And
20? Hey,
know,
Jeff, you think
yeah.
I'm crazy?
Whoa.
Yeah, I did 20.
And you did them all live?
Yeah, and one was live at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh wow, in person! Wow, 20 drafts.
Yeah.
That's impressive, my friend. Well, best of luck.
I won't be doing that again. I won't be doing that again. Yeah.
Well, my question is this: because we had opened the show when we were talking about this, and I have to ask you because you know how I loathe it, and when I see it in every draft we've done, I really really can't stand it. Did you do any auto drafts besides the ones that you couldn't get to in a timely manner?
No. If I was able to make it to a draft, I did not let any. I drafted every round. I didn't leave at the end or anything like that because I'm like you, Jerry. I don't like the computer picking another team or players if an owner's able to do it. You know, even when my very first draft was like June 17th or whatever, which is crazy early. And it was for a real league. People were dropping out like after the fifth round. And
what?
Yeah. And it kind of bugged me. It was like maybe four or five people dropped out after the fifth round. while the other five or six owners, you know, stayed around for the whole draft. It irked me because they have decent teams, and some of the comments were like, well, I'm really not going to mess with this team anyway. So I'm like, why don't you just go to a mock draft? That was my thought process. But
right, right.
You know, it bothers me too, bro.
Wow. All right. Well, for those that don't know, and I do believe you have a statistic that no Harbaugh has lost the first game. Well, I think tonight is going to break that streak for one. And the other thing I wanted to bring up is that Mr. Harbaugh, the Super Bowl winning coach, for those who don't know, has just had his contract ripped up. His last 2 years of the contract, of his old contract, ripped up, and he's got a new deal. Reportedly making nearly $7 million per year, which is good.
Ooh.
until that he got a 4-year extension through 2016. So, barring anything catastrophic, you can guarantee from now until 2016, unless they rip up a contract 2 years into it, if he happens to win another Super Bowl, he's going to be making $7 million per. Which is that's a nice change. I don't know. I'm not sure who makes the most in head coaches per year, but he's got to be near the top of the list right now. Any guys?
Well,
any comments? I don't know if you guys heard that or not. Comments on it. Go ahead, Vic.
I'm not gonna take over. It's a crew show. I'll wait my turn.
Well, I'll go first.
Go ahead.
You know, the thing is, they can cap the salaries of players, but they don't cap the salaries of coaches. So, if a team is serious about winning, that they're gonna pay top dollar to head coaches and also to coordinators and assistants, and those are the teams that are serious about winning. They're willing to pay.
Macau. Victor.
Oh, okay. Maybe pulled a Ricky and went to sleep or something.
No, I doubt it.
Okay. You know, that's the thing. You know, the owners are willing to rip up a contract for a coach that they really believe in. Now, some owners have done that with their players, like Calvin Johnson and Andre Johnson. You know,
mm-hmm.
But it's very, very rare that takes place. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, it shows you the value. You know, if you equate it to a regular business, you'll say, okay, well, I'm going to pay that extra bit of money to keep that mid-level manager because I'm going to eventually move him up to, like, be a junior executive, as opposed to paying that that shift manager or that store manager because they come and go. They might be a very good worker, but they come and go. So the investment that the owners make is in the coach and the ability of that coach to take a mediocre team and make them better than mediocre. Let's be honest, ladies and gentlemen. Last year, the Ravens were mediocre. They were able to turn it on at the right time and make it through. Go back to the game when they played San Diego. Ray Rice really didn't get that whole 20-some-odd yards. He did not. If you notice, Ray Rice bounced and scooched for about 1 or 2 yards that got him the first down. But the rule says, once he's touched and he goes down, the ball is dead right there. So if not for that favorable spot, we're not talking about Baltimore winning the Super Bowl. We're not talking about this new contract. We're not talking about none of that. We're talking about some other team, probably Denver, going to the Super Bowl and dominating. So the value that owners place in the coaches, look at Marv Levy. How long was Marv Levy the coach of the Buffalo Bills? He was the oldest coach in the NFL at the time. And then he
mm-hmm.
moved directly to management. You don't see too many players getting that opportunity to go from player to coach, coach to management. It doesn't happen like that all the time.
Well, my next question is this, Vic. So Harbaugh's there the 2016. Say he does a decent job leading up to 2016. Does he sign another extension? This is purely speculation. Does he sign another extension, or come 2016, maybe it may sound impossible, but it can happen. Ozzie Newsome, for one reason or another, is pushed out the door. What do you think about that? And Harbaugh moves up.
It's very plausible that he does it because, again, we're talking about a young coach. What is he, 45, 46?
Something like that.
And you're talking about only 4 years or so. Ozzie Newsome isn't going anywhere. Mr. Bisciotti has full faith in him. But if that were to happen, if Ozzie Newsome leaves and a new GM comes in, it'll probably look like the Jets, where the GM's going to want his coach, his quarterback. And by 2016, which is what, 4 years? No, 3 years from now, Flacco would have been in the league for what, 8-9 years? That new GM is going to start looking for Flacco's replacement. So then you got all that discord there. So he signs the extension. He stays, and so does Ozzie Newsome. I think as long as he can win, as long as the team can win, he'll be a long-tenured coach. I'm looking at Bisciotti like I'm looking at the Rooneys. The Rooneys have had very few coaches because they picked the right coach. Baltimore picked the right coach in this case. They did. So I think he stays, Ozzie stays, and by that time they're already looking for replacements for Flacco and Ray Rice. So.
All right, I'm going to pose this one starting off with Jeff. Jeff, I got this. This is my question here. Okay, some franchises like the Ravens, like the Steelers, like the Patriots, and you notice this trend here. They have consistent winning seasons, consistently in the playoffs, and every few years they're in the Super Bowl. Is there a formula, or how do these franchises get so lucky in picking coaches that perform or get their teams to perform consistently and in especially in championship environment versus a lot of these other teams that are seem like they're flailing about from year to year trying to find the right fit and never finding one? Talk to me.
You know, it's a couple things, I guess. It's A, picking the right guy, and B, having a little patience, and also some continuity, and, you know, maybe even a little bit of luck, who knows. But, look at in with the – sorry, Vic, look at the Redskins. You know, every couple of years – it seems, the owner's bringing in a new coach, a new GM, and, as a fan, you could say, hey, he's trying, but, you know, when they won before, it was during the Joe Gibbs era where Gibbs and Beathard were together a long time. They had a lot of continuity and a lot of success.
All right. McCall or Vic, anybody want to pick up on that?
No, I definitely agree that continuity is the key to it all. You know, continuity and a sound philosophy. You know, and you can't keep changing up your philosophy. You know, I'm not one of these guys that believe in keep bringing in a different offensive coordinator to change up everything. No, if like, you know, the Raiders, they want to throw deep. You know, that's fine. A coordinator is going to have to appease that, you know. Just like the Steelers. The only thing the Steelers changed up, they just started doing more of that run zone stuff. But other than that, they still the same mob. They still running that 3-4, you know what I'm saying? They still running the offense the same way that they've been running with a few wrinkles, but you know what they're going to do. It's the overall philosophy and continuity. And it also comes from, you know, scouting of the players, the types of players you bring in, to the you know, the overall philosophy of the team, to the defense. All that stuff takes time to rebuild and build. And a lot of these teams that keep bringing these coaches in 2 and 3 years at a time, they're not establishing anything, you know. And what better place did I learn that at? But right here in Washington, D.C.
Okay, Victor. Victor.
Yeah, I'm here. I said
you,
I agree.
Oh,
yeah.
Is that all you have to say? I agree.
I agree because, like my cousin said, and Jeff said, it didn't offend me. The Redskins are a prime example of that. You can play fantasy football all day, no matter what the coach is. But if those pieces don't mesh, you're not going to win. Joe Gibbs was a very good coach for his time, but even his charisma and his ability to lead couldn't get those individuals to become one unit. So, you know, it is what it is.
Well, okay. But the premise of my question was, you know, of the coaches I named, and these guys have won at least one Super Bowl that I've named, what formula does a owner or GM get that coach? It seems like Ozzie Newsome, he always happens to pick the right coach. He had Brian Bilk, he had Jim Harbaugh. He's always had the right coach for that team. Just like Robert Kraft and picked Belichick. Now, Bill Belichick didn't have a decent resume and head coaching-wise. He was pretty much, I wouldn't say thrown out, but he didn't have a good record when he was in with Cleveland. And then he jumped from Cleveland to a quick blink of an eye to the Jets before he went to New England. So what I'm saying is, what's the formula? What's the formula of getting a good coach?
I'll tell you right now. All you got to do is look at the NFL, I don't want to call it a true story, but when they talked about the Cleveland Browns, when they left Cleveland and went to Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
All these people, the Ozzie Newsome, the Bill Belichick, the Jim Schwartz, the Pioli, all these guys all worked together in Cleveland. And one quote that Ozzie Newsome said was, that's when he learned how to put together a good formula and win. And they all use the same drafting style. If you look at it, Pioli, he kind of ventured out a little bit and brought in maybe one or two free agents, but not many. Then the kid down in, I call him a kid, but the guy down in Atlanta, Dimitrov, he was one of those slappies. He hasn't brought in too many big names other than Tony Gonzalez. They've drafted and built the teams, and they've gotten coaches that had workmanlike processes. Now, Bill Schwartz is in a different situation, right? He has Martin Mayhew. He has a few others above him, and he's the coach. So he's not the final decision maker on character or nothing like that. But they learned under Bill Belichick. I got to give it to them. They all had this workmanlike mentality, and they've hired coaches with the same mindset and the same desire. So I think it's a reflection of them, the GMs, and their work ethic and their abilities to create winners. So that's my thought.
Well, you've heard the same thing over and over again. I know all three of you guys, including myself, heard the same thing, that the NFL is a copycat league. So being copycat, why can't these other teams that don't have these good coaches copycat and get a good coach? That's the crux of what I'm saying here, or what I'm asking. How come these other teams, they can't get a good coach when they see the consistently winning teams who are consistently in playoffs or even in Super Bowls, see the formula they're doing and can't duplicate it? Talk to me.
Because you just can't copy and paste and just think you're gonna have success. You know what I mean? It doesn't work that way. I mean, because if that was the case, then we all would copy and paste everything and have, you know, the same success. It doesn't work that way. You know, it boils down to, you know, a person's ethics, a person's delivery and stuff like that. And you know, you're taking a chance on these people that you're bringing in. You know, you just have to take the right chances. You have to take the right chances. And the teams have to be consistent. Every one of those sorry teams, I can point out to you a gang of inconsistencies. I can point out, I mean, you and I can go to the New York Jets and point out at least 20 inconsistencies over the past year. You know what I mean? And that's an issue. That is an issue. You can't have that. You cannot have that. We could do the same thing down in Jacksonville. It astonishes me that they did not pick up Tim Tebow. I really didn't understand that. They really needed him badly down there. But, you know, they were just stubborn enough not to do it. I guess they know better than we know. That they lose, well, you know, every time I see a Forbes list, I see they're the ones losing the most money out of the NFL. They keep having blackouts and whatnot. So who's smarter?
Mike, on that, I'm sorry, Jeff, because I know Jeff wants to talk. But I got to tell you, they're smarter. Because why would you draft Tim Tebow to be on your bench? He can't beat either one of those quarterbacks out and take that job. So
really?
He can't.
Really?
He cannot beat Chad Henne out for that job. He can't even beat Blaine Gabbert out for that job. So you're going to get
the
guy.
But neither one of those dudes have shown anything to do anything. What I'm saying to you is that the Jaguars are losing money. I mean, they are bleeding. I don't see how they're going to be able to stand being in the NFL in the next 5 years. They're just atrocious.
They might move to LA. They might move. Hey, Vic, you might see them in LA.
You're right, Jeff.
Right.
You're right. And the thing about it is this. Here's the thing about it. And I'm going to let Jeff talk after I get this point. Sorry, Jeff. I brought up the issue that the GMs are bringing in coaches that have their like mindset. That's what Jacksonville just did. Khan just brought in a fresh GM, and that fresh GM brought in a fresh, hungry guy from Seattle to bring that style of play from the Northwest to the Southeast. Now, here's the difference in bringing in Tebow and not bringing in Tebow. Kenny has proven that he can win under right circumstances. He's not that consistent at winning, but he can do it as far as leading a team. Excuse me, Blaine Gabbert, he has proven that he can, he has great potential to do it, and he's a quarterback in the NFL. Tim Tebow, on the other hand, has proven he cannot play quarterback in the NFL time and time again. Even when his coach, they drafted him in the first round, who's now the offensive coordinator at the Patriots, couldn't convince or fix him, Belichick had to let him go. Now, when Belichick lets you go, that speaks volumes. What was the knock on Chad Johnson? Before Chad Johnson went to the Patriots, Chad claimed he said Chad could do this. But when Chad got up to New England and couldn't get on the field because he couldn't get the terminology,
make it.
That's what it is. It says a lot. It says a lot. That's all I'm saying.
Jeff.
Go ahead, Jeff. I'm sorry.
You know, no, it's cool. You know, I'll tell you, 2 years ago when Tebow had that magical run with Denver, it speaks so much of that staff because they changed that offense in the middle of the season to accommodate Tebow and to win games because a lot of these coaches, they're not that flexible, you know. I mean, it's not just the players with the egos, it's the coaches too. And John Fox and that all the offensive assistants, they made it work. I mean, it wasn't just Tebow. I mean, they made it work. It was incredible. You know, the thing is, in Jacksonville, it should be tempting to sign Tebow because he'll put butts in the seats. But unless he's getting in the game, it's not going to sell any tickets. And, you know, this guy Khan, the owner, I mean, the guy's a billionaire. He must know something. You know, maybe they really believe in Gabber. I don't know. But I think, talk about a formula for winning. I think it's the right head coach, the right GM, other guys, you know, whoever's directing your college scouting. You need a whole bunch of good guys working together. That's probably the formula. And that's a hard formula, you know?
Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's get back to the game.
By the way.
Go ahead. Go ahead, good, Victor.
The game has been delayed to 9:05 Eastern because of weather. So they haven't kicked off yet. They don't plan to kick off. And it's possible that they might not have the game until later tonight or maybe not tonight.
Really?
Yes.
The weather is going to be that severe?
Well, it's moving in kind of fast. And they said at 8:05 or 7:05 their time when they plan to start, but there's a good chance that it might get pushed back even further. So.
Wow. All right. Got about a little less than 9 minutes left in the show. Let's talk about a little about a fantasy, okay? Let's talk about fantasy on both these teams, all right? Because I have one particular player that I'm not going to come up and say anything about yet until near the end of the show, talk to you guys, and you guys bring me your fantasies picks on both sides of the team. And even if, Victor, you want to bring in the IDPs, that's fine. I'm going to go to Jeff first, okay? Denver, quite naturally, and Baltimore have obvious fantasy picks. Jeff, why don't you expound on the picks that you like in Denver, and the picks also that you don't like in Denver, and Victor, I want you to do the same with Baltimore.
I'll tell you the thing that you know the $64,000 question in Denver is how they're gonna use the running backs. So.
Mm-hmm.
That to me makes me want to stay away from both of them, you know, Ball and Hillman, even though I think Ball's is the one with the upside. But the problem is you got to make a decision on one of those guys right now, not
right.
Sunday. And that's
mm-hmm.
a killer sometimes if it's a you
mm-hmm.
know marginal starter.
The
tight end who Vic mentioned before, I like him, like a lot of these tight ends. He played some basketball in college, and those guys seem to have a lot of success in the NFL. And, you know, it's just, I like all three wide receivers, but I don't know if there's enough balls for each guy every game. There just might be. That's why they play the games.
Victor, Baltimore.
Okay, Baltimore. With the new Champ Bailey not playing, that tells me Torrey Smith should have a very good game. If Jacoby Jones can show up, that would be a plus, although I don't think he got drafted in many leagues this year. But Ray Rice and Bernard Pierce should have a very good game, to be quite honest. Denver's defense is not as stout as it could be because they're built to pressure the quarterback. But if I'm giving the ball to Ray Rice and Bernard Pierce all the time, it's going to be a good game for them. A sleeper you might want to look out for. Who was Peyton Manning's second favorite target while he was in Indianapolis? Other than the slot receiver, the tight end. Who's the tight end for Baltimore right now? Dallas Clark. Joe Flacco will find him and find him often. I think it's going to be a shootout. I honestly think if the weather if the weather can cooperate, it'll be a shootout. If not,
It's going to be a ground and pound game with Pierce and Rice, and it could be a tough game for Denver. Don't pick one of their defense. Do not play Baltimore's defense. Don't do it.
Well, let me ask you a question. Would you play Denver's defense?
Yes, I would.
You just said it was. You think it's going to be a shootout. Why would you play Denver's defense? That's what I'm asking.
Because I think Flacco is going to try to force the ball into certain situations with some receivers that might not be ready to step up and take those hits or catch the ball and take the hit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. I think there will be opportunities mm-hmm. there for Denver's defense to make plays on the ball. So I would play them again. If Baltimore's running the ball, that means they're not putting up a lot of yards because Denver can stop the run decently, and that helps the defensive side of Denver. So you're not getting that many yards scored on you. Okay, the ball's in there, you have opportunity to either knock it down, intercept it, get a fumble, and possibly stop some touchdowns. But I think they're going to be trying to sling the ball around. That's all.
All right. Well, I have and it just came upon me. I just happened to do some little research and found this little tidbit that I possibly be a sleeper in this game on the Baltimore side. He had last time he played in the third preseason game, he had four catches for 59 yards and a touchdown. For the preseason, in the three preseason games, he had six catches for 90 yards and a touchdown. This guy, he's a rookie. He's an undrafted rookie from the Baltimore Ravens. Right now, he's probably the third receiver. But he's been playing with the ones in the preseason, and it's a strong possibility that he'll be on the field. I would say quite a bit, but he'll definitely make appearance on the field because he's produced in the preseason with the ones talking about Marlon Brown, wide receiver. Just take a look at him when they do play the game, and it's supposed to be delayed because of lightning, and I don't think it's in danger of getting canceled. They're going to play this game unless it's a light show of lightning throughout the night. They're going to play this game, and just look, just put that little tidbit and see when he jumps on the field if he happens to do anything. They're looking for a second wide receiver. They're not too keen on Jacoby Jones filling on that void of being a second wide receiver. Marlon Brown may be someone that may shine in this game. An unknown, a lot of time, just like Kevin Ogletree, I think, last year. I think it was Ogletree last year. He, I wouldn't say broke out, but he had a huge game the first night. It could be Marlon Brown, but in a different situation. Ogletree was like the third wide receiver. Marlon Brown would probably have a chance to elevate himself to the number two, but Jacoby Jones is not that consistent of a number two wide receiver. So Marlon Brown, that's my little tidbit for today. And I got about a minute left in the show, and I want to go down the line and you got whatever you want to put out there, you can put out there, and I'll start with Macau.
No, I have too much to say. Just want to say thank y'all, gentlemen, and look forward to chopping it up with y'all about football. Peace and blessings. My man Jeff, Jerry, and my punk-ass cousin.
Oh.
What was that for? What was that for? That's it.
All right, Victor, you're up next. Go right ahead.
I really have there's very few things to say. You know, I'll take the high ground. I'll take the high ground as my cousin is, you know, lowbrow. It's okay. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to our programs Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Thursday. We are who we say we are. We are the best in this business and won't stop, can't stop. So check us out. That's all I got.
Jeff.
Enjoy fantasy football.
Well, you know, this is what we've been waiting for all these months of the off season. Anybody who plays fantasy, I wish you luck and success, unless you're going against me. I'd rather be lucky than good. So
exactly.
But in the long run, talent and skill in the long run should play out. But doesn't hurt to have a little luck. So. Just everybody have fun this season.
Right. With that being said, I want to thank all you guys for joining me tonight. Hopefully they'll get this game going on soon, and we can enjoy real football starting off on Thursday night. Good luck to my opponents, including you, Victor. And we'll see what happens come Tuesday morning. With that being said, thank you for listening. Come back next week, same time, same Bat Channel, and I'll say this. Come on.
Absolutely.
You know what?
Correct. Absolutely.
You know, yeah, it's corrupted right now because I'm completely frozen. Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
Oh. Anyway, thank you guys. Huh?
What did you want to do?
What do you mean what I want to do? I'm trying to... here it is. It's delayed. Oh, God. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
BTR at its finest, baby.
Oh, my God. You know, I had issues. I had earlier issues.
You know what it is?
What's that?
You know what it is, sir? It's my cousin. He's been jumping to the monster causes. I've been trying to, man. Just go ahead and
pay
for your
paper.
What?
Yeah. Wow. Well, anyway, I want to thank you guys for joining me tonight. I'm going to see if I can just end this episode without playing any music because right now I'm frozen, and we'll see what happens. So if we get disconnected real quick, it's because I hit the end of the episode button, and I'm waiting for it to react. Because I'm just sitting in frozen time right now. Unbelievable.
You need me to jump on? You need me to jump on and knock it off?
Can you do that? Yes, please.
All right, you might be talking for a few minutes, but...
Well, that's okay.
Keep it going.
That's okay.
Keep it going.
That's all right.
They about to start the game.
What's that?
It looks like they about to start the game.
Okay, okay. I can believe that.
That's what it looked like.
Oh.
They said about 5 minutes after is the projected time, so it's a big four down.
Oh, God.
Jerry, I got it. Just let me get on, okay? Don't worry about it.
Okay.
But, yeah, the weather being the way it is, you know, I think it's going to be a ground game. And you guys are going to see that Ronnie Hillman, if he can hold on to the stinking ball, is a very good sleeper.
Well, you know what, Victor, you say that because you have Ronnie Hillman and you want him to do well.
But that's the only reason why. I mean, seriously, the guy packed on about 10 pounds of muscle over the summer. He came in dedicated to winning the job. His problem is he's put the ball on the carpet a couple times, and that's not good because he's the goal line back. He's trying to prove that Monty Ball, a rookie, should not be the goal line back. And, you know, that's hard to do. That is hard.
Yeah, especially when they
watching draft. Watching this is so disrespectful. This is so disrespectful, man.
What happened?
I'm just watching the Super Bowl champions coming out the visiting locker of the Denver Broncos. Man, this is
disrespectful. There's a schedule conflict.
Schedule conflict? Victor, really?
Baltimore.
Really? That's what you go, that's what you're going with? You know
you,
what?
You,
Baltimore, you need to go back. You really need to stay up in that master's program, son. Go back in that joint and get your PhD, because if you think it's just a scheduling conflict, you really boo-boo the fool.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, because if a game
is
absolute
not
power corrupts. Absolutely.
It ain't no conspiracy theory. It ain't no conspiracy theory. That's straight up. You can't.
It is.
Y'all can't.
You can.
The Oreos can't make a deal with them. You know what I'm saying? They can't work nothing out with them to push their game back or something. Angelos won't do that. But that's a schedule conflict.
They're in a playoff hunt. They're in a playoff hunt right now. And if you're gonna take away a whole game.
When the last time the Orioles won the pennant, Slim? When the last time they won the pennant? This mob won the Super Bowl two times since they've been in the pennant.
Well,
All right.
It doesn't matter. Jerry.
Oh, it does matter, man. This is just disrespectful. This is totally disrespectful.
Oh, my goodness.
This is totally disrespectful.
Everything does not have to be a dad going, well, the dude's doing this or the man's going. It doesn't have to be that. It's just a schedule conflict. I'm quite sure.
But it is It is not just a schedule conflict. And see, and we are who we are.
All right.
It is not a schedule conflict.
All right.
I just broke it down and told you. Angelo.
Victor.
Angelo.
Mikal.
Angelo.
He's not the reason. You got to say what if.
He is the reason, fool. He could have worked that out. He did not want to work that out.
With that being said, I think I'm back to normal now. With that being said, we can carry this conversation for another time, maybe on Saturday. I want to thank you guys. Like I said, I want to thank you guys for joining me. Tune in next week, all you people who stayed in overtime. Same time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is when you hear all these fantasy sports and politics conversations. With that being said, have a good evening. Enjoy the game tonight and all the games that are going to take place over on Sunday and Monday. We're out.
Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew.
Yeah.
Check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew.
Yeah, come on.
Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew.